you know, we need to learn how to be transparent first with ourselves, with your partner, and then amongst each other, right? And mm-hmm. develop some really authentic relationships. So listen, one thing I know is this whole thing with therapy is a journey. It never stops. And as we grow and develop, new things come up. So it's like an onion that you can never get to the center of, but you have to keep peeling back the layers, right? But it never ends. And that's okay, guys. Like, I think we think, oh, I can go to a therapist 5 times or a psychologist, whoever it is, and you're good. No, that's not the way it works, right?
That was my guest on today's show, Sean Morrison, a.k.a. Sean the Chef. And today's going to be a little bit different because he actually flips the script on me and interviews me as part of his new project, the Ladies Man Podcast. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Into Relationships and You, hosted by Toby Jenkins, a licensed marriage and family therapist serving Central Kentucky. Each week, Toby will bring you a show with a topic related to mental health, relationships, or self-improvement. The name of the show, Paradigm, comes from that moment in the therapy process when a profound shift in perspective happens for a client. An epiphany, sometimes accompanied by physical reaction that leads them to look at things differently and make significant steps towards improving and enriching their lives.
You are listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. I'm your host, Toby Jenkins. Today, my guest is Sean the Chef, a.k.a. Sean Morrison. And, you know, in the last couple of weeks, Sean has started a new podcast. And I think its place in the community in terms of helping others is going to be awesome. So the podcast is called The Ladies Man. So welcome back again, Sean. We go back a long time. You frequent guests. And so... let's talk about the Ladies Man and what you're up to with this project.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if you kind of go back to some of our early conversations, I talked about, first of all, thanks for having me again. If we go back to some of our early discussions, I talked about how I was going through a divorce and different things and that I was working on. And so, you know, I really believe that a lot of, we can do a lot of work and really we can do a lot of work ourselves, right? In addition to what we have from our therapists. And I felt like a lot of the things that I had done, I needed to, one, share the information, kind of come into a place where we normalize mental health. But also I was looking at helping men and really helping everybody, but starting with men, right? Because I feel like we're the foundation for the family. Helping men kind of come to a place where we're achieving some balance in what I call my 5 pillars, right? And that's mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, and financial health, right? So the idea of the Ladies Man is for us to, you know, increase our knowledge, increase our balance in all those areas, so that we can kind of become the foundation for our family. And then we carry that through our families out to the community, right? So mm-hmm. we build better communities, but we start with us, right? And so that's really what the podcast is about, is trying to bring in different people, sharing my experiences, some of the resources that I've used to do some of that work myself, but also bringing in professionals and people who really have different angles on how we as men can start to do that. Mm-hmm. And just carry it forward. Yeah, man.
Awesome. I think mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. Then it was financial?
Financial is the fifth one, yeah.
Financial is the fifth one. Though that about sums it up. That's everything, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, right. So you listen, if you're an athlete, you got to train the whole body, right? Mm-hmm. You don't say, I'm going to do arms, legs. I'm going to do, no, classic example. I'm just going to do chest and arms and abs and never do legs, but I'm a runner.
Yeah.
Right. So that's really what it's about is like, hey, if you look at, and here's where this came from. So through my studies of successful men, right, who are really successful, I'm talking about millionaires, billionaires, right? A lot of what they saw is they got the money, but then they figured out the money wasn't everything. Mm-hmm. And so they had to go on these journeys to figure out, well, why, what's missing? And as they went through these journeys, it was because they were missing, you know, you could, maybe there's a guy who's a billionaire, but he's unhappy because he realized that his childhood, you know, put him through certain traumas. And now he's got to deal with it mm-hmm. because that trauma is keeping him from having the wife or the lady that he wanted. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he going through these patterns of, oh, this relationship, woman I find, there's something wrong with her. Mm-hmm. Not thinking, oh, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Right. And so, I'm on that quest to become millionaire and beyond. Right. And wanting to do that, I wanted to make sure that I develop a blueprint that was right for me.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And I think that my love for family and friends and the people around me didn't allow me to, like, I didn't feel right of not being able to just be whole, man, and feel good and want to enjoy life. So even if you're not looking to be a millionaire, you could make $10,000 a year. But if you feel whole in all these places, you're going to feel better about your life, period. Yeah. Right. And that's where it comes from, man. And that's it.
Let's walk through these like one at a time here. So, physical, how are you thinking about physical? What does that mean?
Yeah. So, if you're dead, nothing else matters.
That's kind of true.
So the other four you cannot do if you're dead or if you're incapacitated, if you're going through conditions that limit what you're able to do.
Yep.
Right? That's it, period. Your physical health is dead or your physical health lacks, you can't do the rest. Right. Cause it's funny because you'll see a lot of these guys who didn't focus on their health, then they get money and they realize, hold on. Next thing you know, they're in shape. They're 50 years old, looking the best they've ever looked because they're like, oh, wait, I need to be in physical health. Cause guess what? I can enjoy what I've done, mm-hmm. nor can I continue if I don't have my physical health.
Yeah. So then personally, how are you pursuing that pillar in your life physically?
Yeah. One, trying to take my health a little more seriously mm-hmm. In the way of how I eat. And it's hard with me sometimes because being a chef, I also have a cookie company. So like if you're making cookies, you can't eat the cookies all the time. Right. So just trying to be a little more diligent in understanding what I need. And right now it's funny you asked that. I am on a quest to really change my body mm-hmm. right now, because I had an injury with my back. Mm-hmm. It took me down for like a month. Yeah.
Back injuries are no joke.
No, sciatica. My left leg hurt so bad that I was like, you can just cut it off and we'll deal with it later. Right.
Wow.
And so that took me out for a month, but I still love to play ball. And really, like, I want to be able, I love to fish, right? You know that mm-hmm. about me. And I want to be able to enjoy just getting out and doing things, right?
Yeah.
And I know one of the best ways to do that is make sure that you're in shape, mm-hmm. right? And two things, being active and what you eat is really critical. And so I've done it for clients with celiac, with, gluten allergies, this, that, and the other. So why can't I do it for myself? Right. So that's where I'm at with that. Right. Like right now it's really like, okay, let's watch what we eat. Cutting sugar and gluten is my first step. And there's so much around that that is ridiculous.
Yeah, don't let me get on my soapbox. So I've been keto for like 4 years. So no sugar, no gluten. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of it.
Like, and the way you feel, I don't think that people realize one of the reasons why COVID is such a significant thing in America is because we're one of the sickest countries on this earth.
And I
don't think
one big factor.
Right. So you look at the labels on this stuff, like with all the chemicals, we it's almost like we manufacture food, not grow it and cultivate it. Right. So,
good point.
So yeah, man. I mean, physically, that's the deal. You know, as men, we suck at going to the doctor.
Yeah.
So trying to listen to your body and say, you know what, something's not quite right. It's better to deal with it now than deal with it a year from now. And then now I got to cut your head off. Or, you know, I gotta cut your arm off. Something crazy. You know, I'm a little bit extreme, but
I know. Because once again, without a head, you'd be dead too, right? So then you can't do anything else.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's why the physical comes into play.
How about emotional? Why is that important? How are you defining that?
Yeah. So emotionally, like I think at class, you know, in the past and even now as men, we haven't really been taught to that emotion is okay. We're kind of taught the opposite from the time you're like, hey, little man, suck it up. Don't cry.
Good point.
If you show emotion, you're a punk. You soft, right?
Yep.
And the truth is, that's all a lie, right?
I see it all the time.
You're basically telling me not to be human,
right?
We're human, right? Yeah. And a lot of the messages that we receive from society pushes men away from that, and I think as a result, we end up being really angry. We have a lot of issues. We suppress so much and we just don't deal with it. So I think it's really important for us to look at our emotional health and really start to deal with that and how we can be, you know, more emotionally solid and balanced and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. And spiritual. How are you defining that? What do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So spiritual to me helps you kind of understand that there is a higher power, whether you believe in God, the universe, Buddha, whatever the case may be, and finding your truth in spirituality, not just what, and your beliefs, not just what you were taught to believe by your, you know, previous generations in your family, right? I always felt kind of funny about church in the Baptist church, because I would see people that were basically doing, they're not living what they're teaching. So I'm like, hey man, that doesn't make sense. You know what I did? I kind of stopped going to church and read the Bible for myself.
Yeah.
Started looking at the Quran, right? Started looking at different religions and understanding that ultimately a lot of them have the same core foundations. Yep. And so then I started to develop my own spiritual path, if you will.
That's good stuff. Hey, we're up against a commercial break. Today, my guest is Shine the Chef. And he has a new podcast called The Ladies Band. And we're walking through the core pillars and what they mean and how they can help men show up and be the best people they can be. We'll be right back after this break. This is Toby Jenkins, founder of Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy and host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy is a proud sponsor and supporter of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. At Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy, we work with couples, families, and individuals walking with you through life's challenges and transitions. You can find out more about Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy and request an appointment through telehealth or in person at www.jenkinscft.com. Or by calling 859-806-0093. We're back. You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. Today, my guest is Shine the Chef. AKA, actually, I said that backwards. Today, my guest is Sean Morrison, AKA Sean the Chef. And we're talking about his new podcast, The Ladies' Man, and walking through the pillars of his show. And once again, there's a lot of overlap between what we are trying to do, like with this show and with his show. Like Sean is walking through his actually making public his personal journey and trying to help other men also be the best they can be their whole self. So we walked through three of the pillars before the break, but let's jump into mental health as a foundation. Why is that important? What does that mean to your show?
Yeah. So again, as I studied these successful people, right, and as I began to try to do some work on myself, one of the things that became clear is mindset is everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so around mindset, you start to see that the messages that you have in your mind about yourself, about the things around you, your environment, really have a huge impact down to even including your health, your physical health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. And so, so let me just say this. I have a thing that I say daily. I have a daily gratitude exercise where in the morning and before I go to bed. But one of the things that I write down every day is I am wealthy in all aspects of my life, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Okay.
That's good.
And so just understanding that your mind can control so much around you, from how your viewpoint on things, from how you receive things emotionally, even how you deal with situations, the intestinal fortitude to move forward through difficult situations. There's so much around your mental that then affects everything else, right? So I find it that you need to do that work on your mental health. And then it's just one of those things that we tend to forget about, seems like. It's like, yeah, I can get my broken arm fixed, but that mind, because of the power that it has, and even if you want to go a little bit further into manifestation in your life, like there's so much power in your mind that to me, it makes sense that you want a healthy mind and you want to create some balance around that.
So yeah, that's very, very true. And one of the things you tapped into is the concept of resilience,
Yes.
And that's in there. We often forget some of the things that we have worked through, walked through, gone through. And it's always important. That combination of gratitude and resilience is pretty powerful. Now, how about financial? What is why is that pillar important? What does that mean to the Ladies Man Show?
Okay, so financial really comes from the fact of the world we live in, right? You can't do anything without money in this world, right? Money also is one of the leading causes of stress. Or is a big deal when you talk about stress personally, if you're single or in your relationship, right?
Yep.
You know that you can't do anything about money. And we live in a capitalistic society, so money matters, right? And,
right,
you know, it doesn't have to matter, the level of which it garnishes in your life can be different. Right. Because there are some people who don't want to be a millionaire, who don't want to have all that. And that's fine. Right. The thing is that you find balance in what makes you happy around these five pillars. Right. So for me, I've always had a goal since I was a little kid of being a millionaire. And that's just where I am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just what I wanted. And so I was really out to see how do I do that.
Right.
And I found that if you can kind of balance all of these things, you can be happy and have money.
So financially, that is your goal. But as a pillar of your show, you just want to make sure that what's taken away is that the financial part of our lives is not overlooked and ties into the other aspects too, right? So, you know, it's interesting. There was a study that came out. Gosh, I listen to so much stuff and read a bunch of stuff. I can't remember where it came from. But there's like a tipping point in terms of income that, you know, below that, it's stressful and it's a struggle. But then much past that, it's stressful and a struggle. Kind of what you talked about before, that having excess financial wealth can also be extremely stressful. Yeah. And I think that number in the United States was $75,000.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you surprised? Yeah. At that point, people are content. But then once you go past that, there tends to be this combination of stress from losing it, but also lack of satisfaction, because then you then look at people who make more and say, that adds stress. So I think even financially, what you talked about before, I think gratitude is an important practice when it comes to financial well-being as well.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, that may not be so surprising. Here's why. One of the key things around developing your financial, let's say, attitude is examining your beliefs about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one.
So if you add that with the fact that the average income, if I'm not mistaken, of a, you know, most people don't make $75,000 in America.
No, you're right. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but no.
Yeah, that seems like a big number. And so I could see where going beyond that, like, you know, because a lot of people think, if I could just make this much, I'd be great. Then they get there. If I could just make this much. So, but if you haven't done the work on these other things, it doesn't matter how much you make, small or, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people who they're good living in a tiny home or having a camper on the back of their pickup truck that they can, you know, carry, but they can roam freely because they, you get what I'm saying? So that's the thing that I'm saying. Like, you have to find that place for yourself.
Yeah. You know, you brought up, it's funny. I often think about some of the happiest times of my life, and it was during college. And, you know, $5 would last a couple weeks.
That's right.
But hang on to a $5 bill for, you know, you go to the calf. You know, part of it too was, you know, overarching, one of the words that came to mind as you're talking about this is, and this is something I push in therapy, is being tied to a purpose. Like, this is in, and I think purpose can, purpose is in all these pillars, but purpose can transcend a lot of things. Yeah. And so if you're in your purpose, you can make $20,000 and be perfectly content and have all these other parts in balance, which is kind of the point. It doesn't have to be a dollar figure.
That's right.
Tying all these together can help you be whole, which is
like a good point. I'm not doing the podcast to get paid.
Right. Me neither.
If it becomes if there is some monetization of it, fine. But like, really, it's because I see the value in helping people, because it's that important. Because in this day and age right now, I know it's human nature, but we have a lot of division amongst us, right? We're divided, whether it's football, something as stupid as football team, to the presidential candidate we you know, support, to I like cheddar and you like American, to like I'm black, you're white. You know, there's so many things that it's like one against the other. But when you sit down, you know, one of the things that I love about food is I can sit 10 people down at the table from 10 different places, put out some good food, and you watch the atmosphere, there's a common bond that now kind of cultivates amongst those people, right? And so that's like, I just want to share that with people, right? And that's what I'm passionate about.
Oh yeah. And you, now I wanted to talk about that too, because your food is amazing. And like you, I don't think we do a lot of things around food, but I think we way underestimate like just the power. Risk it adds to, power, it adds to food. And I know this about you already, but, you like making delicious stuff for that effect, for the relational effect, the individual effect. And you do it for free just to see that, how people respond to it. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I consider us to be very fortunate to be able to do work we're passionate about and give to the world. And so we'll probably talk about this in the next segment, but COVID has been challenging in a lot of, for the food industry, in a lot of different ways, but you've also adapted. And so when we come back, let's talk about more about your show, but also how you've adapted from since the pandemic with catering and cooking. So you're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. We'll be right back with my guest today, Sean Morrison, AKA Shine the Chef. This is Toby Jenkins, host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You, and this is 1 Minute Insight. The last couple weeks I've been talking about ambiguous loss, and today I'm going to talk about some symptoms of ambiguous loss. And it depends on whether there's an object, a relationship, or perhaps a failure of some kind. So in the case of an object or a thing, one of the symptoms is not being able to let go of finding it. I mean, it rules your thoughts throughout the day and your complete focus. Being convinced that you've found it because you're always looking for it is another one. And, kind of a crossover is the obsessive and intrusive thoughts about whatever that is that you lost, whether it be a thing or a relationship. When it comes to relationships, one of the things I commonly see people do, or my clients do, is fill in the blank with things that are very self-limiting about themselves. So they assume the worst about them without having the explanation for why the relationship ended. So these are just a few symptoms that people exhibit when they go through ambiguous loss. This is Toby Jenkins, host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. One of the biggest stressors that we encounter is money. Money issues strain our family life, create stress in our relationships, and can provoke serious anxiety and depression. And many don't know where to turn to get relief. That's where the Darius Norman Show comes in. The Darius Norman Show airs daily on WTTA FM 101.2 from 1 to 2 p.m. Darius Norman is a certified credit and financial counselor and author of Rewriting Financial Rules. It's his objective to empower others with educational tools and services to assist them in taking control of their financial and credit issues. Tune in to the Darius Norman Show on WTTA FM 101.2, and you can follow him on Twitter at the Darius Norman Show. We're back. You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. I'm your host, Toby Jenkins. Today, my guest is Shine the Chef. And, before the break, we were talking about his latest venture, the Ladies Man, and wanting to help men in particular be their full selves, their best selves. So, I mentioned before the break that, COVID has, now I'll say from a therapy standpoint, where I live, COVID has forced telehealth to be a normal part of doing therapy. And so from that standpoint, it's been good for me. And I know following your passion, which is cooking, catering, and making delicious food, it's been really challenging, but you have managed to pivot. So how have you incorporated the challenges from COVID to still be able to get your delicious foods out to the world?
Yeah. So, I had a great fortune of timing. I come to this notion that I was like, you guys, last time we talked, I had a food truck and catering company. And I felt like I was working myself to death, right? So I hadn't really communicated it, but I was like, you know what? I'm shutting this down, right? I hadn't figured out exactly what I was going to do, but, you know, I knew I wanted to shut it down around, what, Christmas, really Thanksgiving of 2019. And so out of that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start selling my cookies because I would make them for clients. I knew it was a great product. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell my cookies to Whole Foods, try to get it in stores as a frozen product. It's you know, made from all non-GMO and or organic ingredients. So as I went on that path, I took this course. It was called a business accelerator course. And, you know, because I was looking for some answers for some things that I hadn't figured out as far as online business. And during that course, you know, we talked about purpose, right? So we mentioned purpose. And one of the things that was really tugging at me was the notion of helping people when it came to mental health, my whole journey, sharing my story and that kind of thing. And so that's where the whole notion of the ladies man in terms of helping men. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, man, if more men could do this, can you imagine the how powerful that would be? And so basically I was like, you know, at the same time, COVID hits. And I'm like, wow, this is perfect timing that I'm shutting down the food truck right before, like, literally shut down. Mm-hmm. This was back in March. I did my last wedding in February. Literally right before, right? Started working my plan for the cookies and started seeing what was happening with Amazon. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so now the digital age is here. COVID is going to push this forward, yeah. Right? So I was immediately like, okay, maybe I take the, I was like, okay, so Whole Foods is owned by Amazon. Maybe I can push this into the Amazon world. They weren't taking any new food products. Well, it just so happened that people were hitting me up directly and I was like, all right, bump Amazon. We're going to go direct to consumer, right?
Wow, yeah.
So all this is happening in the midst of taking this course. Well, part of this course was to build your site, sales funnels, different things, right? Built the site in a week. In the first few weeks, I had like $800 in sales.
Wow. In the first week? Right?
No, in the first 3 weeks.
First 3 weeks. From wow. That's...
First 3 weeks, not knowing, like literally just threw it up.
Yeah. People found you.
Wow. Yeah. So you know, during that thing, though, in our discussions, I was still trying to hold on to this. It wasn't called ladies man at that point, but this whole concept of helping men and bringing them to around these five pillars. And so it just kept tugging at me. Mm-hmm. So now cookies are stood up. We're in this, you know, it's later in the year. I'm still thinking this. Then the ladies man name comes to me. And I just couldn't let it go. So eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to jump in. And it just means a lot to me. So I did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat, you know, going, you are living out your pillars, which is good. And having that kind of mental flexibility. I mean, because,
yeah.
You know, in the face of COVID, a lot of people just said, this is just overwhelming. It's too much. And I'm just done. And so being able to pivot that way is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I don't watch much TV. Mm-hmm. All right. So prior to COVID, going way back to getting divorced, I just stopped watching TV. Yeah. Because I was spending all my time reading, consuming content around the five pillars. Mm-hmm. To where I lost track of, it was almost like I was in my own world, right? Yep. And I also saw that people weren't really, it got quiet, I'll say it like that, right? People weren't really reaching out to me much, like it got quiet for me and mm-hmm. it allowed me to do the work, right? And so that was a beautiful thing. And then to this day, I still don't, I'll you know, check out TV just to see like what's the latest. But like, for the most part, I still don't watch TV. I haven't watched a full basketball game and I don't know how long, you know how that is. Like, you know, I'll probably watch the Super Bowl tonight, I guess, right? If I, you know, it just depends, right?
And so that's, I think I might make it to the first half, through the first half. I'm kind of like you.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. I too don't watch that much television, except for Maury Povich, because I have to record. I gotta have my Maury Povich, man.
Really?
Yeah, man. But you know, you the point you bring up though is that for the most part, and I think this is a spot that I'm pretty blessed and fortunate to be living in right now, is that there are a lot of things I want to do, and so
yeah.
The concept of sitting down and watching something, if it's not something I really like, or if we're not doing it as a family, I generally don't do. So like, I suck at binge watching stuff because
I feel guilty.
I could be doing something else. Now, with that said, I've listened to a ton of books, over the past couple of years. And as part of that is like, I listen to a lot of books while I run or while I'm doing other things that are moving me forward.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's one of those things. If you can engage in things that are, you know, that meet your or in your purpose, then it doesn't really feel like work. And especially, yeah, you know, at your heart, you and I are both helpers. If we are doing things that help other people, then, it doesn't feel like work. And so, I'm kind of like you. I just don't have the time. I don't feel like I can sit and watch the whole series of fill in the blank.
Yeah. And a bigger thing is, from a mental standpoint, a mental health standpoint, you have to be careful with what messages you're consuming.
Yeah. Very right? True.
I don't think people really understand how much watching. So I'll give you an example. There was a show on Netflix. I won't call it out, but it has some, it deals with a young black male. His father's not in his life, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's very dramatic. Mm-hmm. Right. It does have it's a lot of truth, but it's very negative. And so I had started watching it. I kind of became interested in it. I'd watch an episode or two to kind of disconnect from me being so engulfed in work. And, you know, it started making me feel, it was triggering stuff.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Man, you know, I'm like, I don't want to be in this space. I understand everything around this. I don't want to be in this space. It wasn't that it was triggering things to make it. It was just like putting me in a different kind of negative space.
Yeah.
That I was like, no, I don't need to be in that. Like that, you know, that feels crappy. Like I'm not really trying to be there. So I stopped watching it. Then I picked it up again. And my daughter was like, Daddy, you know, you shouldn't be watching it. My daughter said that.
If your daughter knew that.
Right. Because she knew, she could tell the difference between me watching it and not watching it. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I talked to my kids about this stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Cut it off. And I think we really have to do that, whether it's cutting off the TV, people around you, different things that are going to affect you in a negative way, because you want to try to keep those, you know, and TV is programming.
Oh yeah.
The messages you receive from TV or anything that you're watching, listening to. So if I'm filling my bucket with, or my mind with the things that contribute to what I want to achieve versus those things that are not, then I feel like I'm doing the right thing and you can see it by the results.
That's a real good point. You know, one of the things, and we're headed to a break here, but you know, one of the things in terms of early in the COVID pandemic, you know, people, you know, we're collectively experiencing anxiety altogether. And so one of the things, I'd come up with a couple of strategies just based on some of the clients I was working with, and limiting your news exposure between the politics and the virus.
Yes.
Limiting is very important because it can be overwhelming.
Yes.
You know, being present is another good thing. Like, and yes. Basically I define being present as being able to use as many senses as you can at one time. And trying to focus on what you can control. But that TV thing and the news thing between COVID and politics can do just, it just ups the ante for us. If right, it's constant, right. I mean, even to the point where, you know, you hear the intro, dun, 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 you know, breaking news.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, every 15 minutes. So it has a psychological effect on us. Well, we're up against a break. Today, my guest is Sean Morrison, and actually, we're talking about a number of things, but he has a new podcast out, The Ladies Band, and we're talking through the pillars, and it's focused towards helping men be their best selves, show up fully in their families and communities. So we'll be right back after this break.
You've got mail.
All right. Today's listener mail is going to be a little bit different. This is actually a listener that contacted Sean after hearing episode 2. So we're going to read the email, and then we'll talk to your listener here.
So
fire away.
Let me paraphrase some, because there's a whole lot in this, but you know, the thing that was beautiful for this is this came out of episode 2, where I was talking about vulnerability, and just to know that right away, it was touching somebody. Mm-hmm. It actually ended up being a woman. So let me just kind of jump in, and I'll try to paraphrase some kind of key pieces, right? Because she wanted to know, basically, part of her questioning was around, you know, just being from a male perspective, right? And so she's divorced. She had a kid that she lost to kidney disease, right? So she's going through a lot. She was raised by a single father. He died when she was 29, right? Okay. And she says he taught me a lot from a male perspective. She knows how to change a tire, et cetera, et cetera. But then her parents were divorced as well. Her mom was schizophrenic and has dementia.
Oh, wow.
And so she didn't get to spend a lot of time with her, right? And so at this point in her life, she's trying to make sense of all this. And one of the things she says is she's having a hard time discerning how men either receive her or want her in their relationships, whether it's about her degree or just sex or the stability that she's providing. And she wanted to know if I could talk about, you know, hey, guys are telling me that I'm masculine in a lot of ways and being an independent woman who doesn't need a man, but she's getting a lot of feedback that's saying that they're receiving her as being masculine. So what do you think about that?
Wait a second. I thought you were supposed to answer that first. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All right. So as I listen to that, she's experienced quite a bit of loss. And so that's tricky, but you know, there's also, I'll put it this way, that, I'll use my parents as an example. When my parents got together, neither one of them had anything, and their concept, or at least their idea, was to build something together. And so I think from the way our culture has changed, in particular women being in the workforce and having to make decisions around career, family planning, the whole thing, that a lot of women have to make this choice around, you know, career, family, partner. But one of the things I see commonly, especially that women that want to be partnered, is that there's no room for interdependence. And so, meaning, if I can do everything on my own, then this other person in my life is really not needed. And so, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword where our culture has changed quite a bit. I mean, and for the better, I believe, is what I'm getting at. But there, in order to be in a partnership, there has to be room for the other person. And so, you know, part of her circumstances too sound like she's had to be independent. But
right,
exactly. being when I used the word interdependent, because being dependent is one thing and being independent is another, but it's that blend of both where there's room in my life for someone to partner with. And so that can be really hard if you've been independent for as long as she has been. And so that's kind of my two cents, like what ways or what things can you let go of and be interdependent with a partner or create space for a partner?
I feel like it probably is true that she has a masculine feel in the way that she handles things, but that's because of what she's had to deal with, right? And the role she's had to play. Now, there's a kind of a side note from our community that we hear this over and over as men, that we're not needed, et cetera, et cetera. I'm an independent woman, blah, blah, blah. And so I think it is exactly what you say. It's like, that's a theme, but it doesn't have to be the theme or it doesn't have to be the truth, because it's natural for us to need each other, want each other. And so let's get away from the, I don't need you, right? And that messaging to how do we work together?
Yeah. Right? You brought up something else kind of, you got another thought on that? Cause I had another thought while you.
No, go ahead.
The other thought to that is that, I often look at other, so for instance, I think the LGBTQ community has made a tremendous contribution to how I look and how a lot of clinicians look at heterosexual relationships, because some of these, like that masculine term to me is pretty electric here. And so some of that reverts, when I think about how it's used, kind of reverts to the traditional way we look at relationships. But if you look at same-sex couples, they look at what needs to be done and who's best at it. And then they do it,
and that's
right?
That's what it should be. That's what it should be.
Sometimes you get this kind of clash in the way relationships are looked at, where only men can do certain things and women can do certain things. But sounds like for this woman, she's had to do it all with a child and being divorced.
Not just one. She has four kids. Several.
Okay. Well, then the other thing too, we've talked about adverse childhood experiences, and one of those is being a child of someone who has mental illness. And so schizophrenia is very tricky it's a childhood trauma. And so there's probably some reconciling or some therapy work that would be beneficial to understanding what that exposure, what impact that exposure is having on her currently as an adult.
Yeah, man. I truly believe that after, coming out of a marriage and being divorced and seeing different things, like, let's not get caught up in the who makes more money, this, that, and the other, but how do we build together? Because ultimately that's what people are looking for, companionship, a helpmate, so to speak. And just like, how do we build this thing together? And I think kind of when people connect, when you're young, like you said, your parents, they didn't have anything.
No.
So you have a better opportunity to build together, but you kind of don't have the life experience to help you be as successful as you could in that, right?
Yeah.
Then you get older, now you have experience building by yourself, but now you're talking about, I've kind of figured it out myself, and now you're struggling to put the two together. So it's kind of like you're hitting it. Yeah, if we could now understand as we've gotten older and wiser, that it's, if we can just say, okay, here's what I bring to the table, here's what you bring to the table, how do we complement the two?
Yeah.
Right. I do believe in that.
And, going back to kind of the masculine label too, you mentioned like what you bring to the table. For a lot of men who think about relationships traditionally or heterosexual relationships, it's threatening to have your female partner be the breadwinner or the provider. And that's kind of old school thinking. So, our society has moved and our relationships have to move with it.
To further that point, like we in the Black community, especially, you have a lot more women who are going to college than you do men, which then automatically puts them in a place to be higher earners.
Well, I hope your listener finds our answers and discussion helpful. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more Paradigm Insights into Relationships and You with Toby Jenkins.
Yeah, so you sound like me because for those who don't know, I have a comp sci degree, and I'll say I'm a chef by passion, an engineer by trade. And then here I am with this podcast, which is totally, you know, off the grid with those two things. But really it's about, you know, having that same desire to help people, right? And especially men of color in my sense too, but really just people overall. But I just felt like there's a special need around men of color because there's so many things in our community that, you know, we have a lot of stigmas, a lot of just different things that keep us away from focusing on mental health. And I think, you know, all of that kind of came out of divorce, right? And realizing that there was a lot of work that I needed to do for myself just to kind of figure out who I was again, get to that place where I was, you know, feeling fulfilled around what I'm doing in my everyday life, right? So, and I felt like a lot of what I was doing, people could replicate to start helping themselves, right? And then also getting help across the board. So speaking of therapy, right, one of the things that I think a lot of people are not really clear on is kind of what is therapy and like, how do you, I know you and I talk about there's different, I guess, letters, you know, all these acronyms. Like, can you kind of help us unpack that and demystify some of that?
Yeah, I'll start with what I do, which is LMFT, which is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so from an approach standpoint, LMFTs are systemic thinkers, relationship thinkers. So that's the overlap with engineering, systems theory. And so I see so LMFTs can see individuals, but kind of the focus from an LMFT is understanding that no matter where you go or what you do, the relationships around you, especially those key relationships, either in the family you grew up in or in the relationships you have now, they really matter and have a huge influence in how you see the world, how you interact with the world, and et cetera. So I don't prescribe medication. Psychiatrists do that. And so psychiatrists, their education is more along the lines of someone in med school in terms of understanding medication, chemistry, how these medicines work in the body. And so one of my pet peeves is that I often get a number of clients who go to a psychiatrist, talk to a psychiatrist for 15 minutes, come away with the medication. Oh, I'm depressed. And so the other part about that is I can diagnose, but I don't give medication. And so, and it's often the case that whether it's a psychiatrist, psychologist, or me, we can all work together depending on what the circumstances are. So psychiatrists, they can diagnose, prescribe medication. Typical medications are for anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, you kind of name it. Psychologists are trained in kind of classical psychology. So a lot of evaluations, tools, you can go to a psychologist for individual therapy. They not so much trained on systems or like relationships, but good with like, hey, I've always thought I have ADHD. Well, there's a psychological tool for that. They will pull it out, you do the evaluation, and then they can help you with tools on how to either develop coping skills. They too might recommend, well, it might be helpful to go see a psychiatrist to get medication to supplement what we're doing here. Gotcha. And then kind of the other two buckets or letters you see that are doing therapy are licensed counselors.
Okay.
And social workers. Social work education is, you know, there's some psychology in it, but social work also focuses on the systems that are available to help people. I have a couple clients that are social workers. And so they're working with big systems like foster care, Department of Child Protective Services, but they also have training on like individual, like de-escalation and kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say crisis management.
And so you can also do therapy with a social work degree. So are kind of the big, So probably the best place to go to find a therapist is Psychology Today. They have a service, you can go there and put in your zip
like
code.
A directory.
They have a directory. They keep track of if you're licensed or not. And that's another, now all of these professions are licensed by state. And so you want to make sure that if you are looking for someone to go see, make sure they're licensed.
Speaking of that, you're about to change locations. Are you going to have to get relicensed or can you practice because you do a virtual offering?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Well, I'll answer the first question first, is that therapy is licensed by state. So when I move to Virginia, and I can already start that process now, I have to apply for licensure in that state. So that's where it can get a little bit funky, because each state's regulations are different. And so I'm fortunate that Kentucky and Virginia are pretty similar in their requirements. But if I were to move to California, the requirements are a lot higher. The bar is higher. And so I would have had to go back into supervision to move to a state like California. So there are a couple other states in New York. So the purpose of licensure is to protect the public. That's the primary purpose. And so like from that standpoint,
it's like having a doctor without a license having gone through vetted them and making sure that they're actually properly trained and understand everything around it. Right.
So that if something happens, you can go to your state body and file a complaint.
Similar to a bar association kind of thing.
Exactly. And it kind of keeps the average, there's some, now I didn't talk about coaching, which I mentioned in my intro. So coaching is not a regulated field.
Of course not. Yeah.
And so you can tomorrow call yourself coach, but the people you work with don't necessarily have any recourse if you do something unethical or worse. Now back to COVID, at least like in a state like Kentucky and other states who've been slow to jump on the bandwagon with telehealth, COVID is kind of forced telehealth. All those that were reluctant to do therapy by telehealth have said, okay, now this works. So that too is still regulated by state. But I think what will be coming soon is a national license for telehealth. Yeah. You can see anybody who's licensed anywhere. That may take a little time, but while I'm talking about telehealth, from a mental health standpoint, probably the biggest restriction are emergency situations. So like for instance, I know where you are, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't always know where your clients are. And so if an emergency comes up, how do you respond in an emergency if you don't know where the heck your client is?
Right.
And so that's kind of the downfall. I mean, it's resulted in great accessibility and privacy, but the downfall are volatile situations and being able to keep everybody safe in those volatile situations.
Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us today. This is part one of my discussion with Shine the Chef. Join us next week for part two. If you have a relationship, therapy, or personal growth question you would like answered on the air, email me at toby@paradigmradioshow.com. You can find archive shows and additional details about guests of the show at the show's website, www.paradigmradioshow.com. You can follow weekly one-minute insight posts on the show's Instagram and Twitter feed at Paradigm Radio Show. For archived episodes, you can find episodes wherever you subscribe to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Insights into Relationships and You is brought to you by Jenkins Professional Services and Hype Media Global.
Thank you for tuning into Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You with Toby Jenkins. Join us again.